First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, from the verse number 4.
For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Every gift of God, every blessing that we receive from the Lord is coming with a certain responsibility, and the Word of God is teaching us the right and proper way of using the Lord's provisions. This verse number 4 is focusing mainly on the food that is good and healthy for our diet, our consumption, but it also has a wide general meaning and significance. Everything in this life has been created with a certain purpose, and the Lord is teaching us how to know that purpose and how to use His gifts properly. Among the many religious teachings and doctrines that are propagated and taught in diverse groups, the teachings that are unscriptural about dietary diets and restrictions is one that is telling us they, or the proponents of that doctrine, believe that the commandment of the Lord, thou shalt not kill, means not kill, nothing. And therefore any food that would be coupled with destroying the life of the animal used for food would be sinful, or the violation of that commandment. This is clear nonsense. The commandment was given to Moses to give to the children of Israel, and the real meaning of that commandment is thou shalt not murder. It was given to the Israelites to respect highly the life of the fellow Israelites, and even in some very dramatic situation when by incident or accident someone lost his or her life, the relatives of the one that suffered death may not take justice into their hands and murder the man they suppose is responsible for the death of their brother or sister. The whole thing must be brought before the judges, and they will discern between crime and accident, between murderer and one that is involved in the death of the other, and yet innocently. In the verse number 5 we read that the food we receive, and I should say as well as all other gifts and blessings and the provisions of the Lord, we should receive with gratitude to the Lord. And these gifts and perhaps in this account especially the food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. How is food sanctified by the word of God and prayer? When we are committed to use the food not for overeating, not to be like drunkards, but rather to eat, to have strength and health, and to drink to satisfy our thirst as much as necessary for our health and strength, and we use our health and our physical and mental intellectual strength to do the will of the Lord with gladness. We live according to the teaching of the Word of God in harmony with the will of the Lord. Then we and all we do is sanctified by the Word of God. And of course we cannot do anything of our own selves, but with the help of the Lord, that we prayerfully seek and find in His grace. So our life and our food has been sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. This is not necessarily teaching us a certain ceremony, that before every meal, when the meal is ready, we would bring the Holy Scriptures and read a passage, and then we pray that the Lord would sanctify that food for our body so now we may eat it. No, this is not talking about any ceremony. On the other hand, it's a good custom and a good habit to have a prayer before and after each meal, if it's possible. Some believers have the custom of having a prayer before the meal, and they sing a song of praise and thanksgiving after the meal. I believe that's also a good custom, and honoring the Lord. Other groups or individuals practice just eating without prayer before nor after, or any songs or anything, just that's the meal time, they sit down and eat, and when they are finished they go their way, or who is in charge takes care of the remnants and the table and dishwashing and so on. However, they have their family time together, time of the family devotions every day. Some other families or groups have family devotions once or twice a week. I believe that all these customs are godly customs, and I think the diversity has been conditioned or caused by the diversity of living. Some people live in cities, some on farms, and some people work in diverse shifts, and the others work all at the same time, and so on. Some children go to school, and other children are homeschooling. I believe that we should be considerate and kind and respectful, not quick to make judgments and be critical of the others if they have somewhat different custom than ours. We should not be thinking that we are the only godly people and all the others are ungodly. When we sanctify God's gifts with the Word of God and prayer, we are actually sanctifying ourselves to receive God's blessings with gratitude and use them respectfully to serve the Lord and to serve one another in true godliness. This sanctification is linked not only to our physical diet, to the food that we consume, but also to our spiritual food. We consider and study the Word of God We read the Word of God, we pray for understanding, we pray that the Lord would bless His Word, multiply the gospel message, proclaim the gospel far and wide, and make us a true example of godliness, His own living testimony of the abundant goodness and grace of His upon those that trust and obey His Son, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue reminding the brethren, the believers, fellow believers, of this simple teaching and application of the Word of God, and doing that, Timothy would prove that he is a good, faithful, wise minister of Jesus Christ, that he himself is nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto Timothy has already attained. Once we have attained to that good doctrine and the nourishment of the Word of God, when we have created that habit and that has become our regular life, a combination of our daily food for our body and our manna from above for our souls, once we have attained that, we should continue reminding one another and reminding our own self. We remind ourselves when we read the Word of God, when we meditate on the Word of God, when we pray, and the ministers keep reminding the fellow believers as they present the Word of God in our meetings. Both nourishment of the body and the nourishment of our soul is very important, vital to our strength and our health in the Lord. I believe that every sincere and serious believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is aware of the fact that this sanctification is not applied to just about anything, that we are aware of the fact that our prayer and sanctification by the Word of God is not necessarily changing the substance, the essence of the food. Bread remains bread, meat remains meat, vegetables remain vegetables. Nothing has been changed by prayer and sanctification. By prayer we seek the will of the Lord, and in the Word of God we learn the will of the Lord. And by the will of the Lord revealed to us by His Spirit's guidance and the Word of the Gospel, the teaching of the Gospel, we are sanctified to serve the Lord and to use His gifts to please Him. Something that is in itself sinful, contrary to the teaching of the Gospel, condemned by the Word of God, cannot be sanctified. We cannot pray and pray and pray and meditate and cry to the Lord and call upon His name night and day, and finally some sinful intention of ours will be sanctified and the Lord will agree to accept that as an offering. There is no such a thing. That would be teaching of Satan. In this process of sanctification or sanctifying what we receive from the Lord, our mind and heart, our desires and intentions are being sanctified on and on, always anew. It seems to me that in order to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, Timothy had first he himself to be nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And same today with us. We can be a good example, and those that have the gift of teaching can be good teachers if we all are nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine that we have received by the apostles given to us, we have received it in Christ the Lord and Savior. To the end of the verse number 6, we have the instruction and teaching what we are to do. In the verse number 7, the opposite of that, what we should refuse, what we should not do, something that is detrimental to that sanctification and contrary to the Word of God. Profane and old wives' fables should be refused, and we should exercise ourselves more and more unto godliness. I think it is clear that for us is beneficial to refuse, to avoid anything that is mind-polluting. Also, anything that is not edifying, that is not helpful to us or the others in our spiritual life or in our profession, occupation, our education, anything that is used just to waste our time should be avoided. Songs, articles, books that are edifying our souls and glorifying God, I believe, should be welcomed. It is very good for us. It is very helpful in our spiritual welfare and warfare to improve our skill in expressing our deep gratitude to the Lord and to praise His holy name. Christian poetry and hymns and praises are beautiful literature. I personally greatly appreciate beautiful gospel songs, and frequently I fall in love with a song that I just learned, or at least I heard. I want to learn it even in my old age. I love to sing and praise the Lord. It's uplifting, edifying the soul and mind and heart. It's beautiful, wonderful experience praising the Lord. In the verse number 8, we read that bodily exercise profited a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Perhaps at this moment I can take a short break and bring to our attention an interesting fact. In the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8, from the verse number 9, I will read a few verses. Take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours became a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Here in the first epistle to Timothy chapter 4, it's not only one brother, but apparently a group of believers, and that teachers teaching the others to abstain from eating meat or certain kinds of food. And in this case, the Apostle Paul did not say, well, lest we offend them, we will rather go along with their teaching. It is important not to offend the weak brother. it is important not to follow false teaching. And in both cases, it's very important to know the whole Word of God and follow the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as presented to us through the apostles. And I think in every such a case, when we might be facing the possibility of offending a fellow believer, we should not be too hasty or too quick to make harsh judgments, but rather be patient and wait on the Lord and wait on the Word of God. Also, if the help of a more experienced believer, a brother or a sister that is wiser than I, is available, we should take advantage of that. Back to the verse number 8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. What is that bodily exercise that is of a little profit or profited for a little time? Perhaps I should take a simple example like learning to read. We read on our jobs for our income. We also read the Word of God for our spiritual food and for sharing with one another and reaching out to the others. I think all the good education is also helping us in our spiritual life. We understand the Word of God better when we have more complete or less incomplete education in general. On the other hand, even if our education is very limited, if we are ignorant about many things, for example, I am very ignorant of the modern electronic advances, though I use them. Right now I'm recording. Do I understand how it works? No, I don't. But as much or as little as I learned, it's profitable. It's good for me to use the modern way of communicating. It's cheaper. It is faster. But it also helps me to share the Word of God. Limited education is not a must in limiting our godliness. I knew quite a few examples, some brothers that had limited education and were an example of godliness among their fellow believers. But that fact is not a reason for despising and looking down on education. On the other hand, there is extreme in education, learning some things just to have some knowledge we can puff up about. I think that's vanity and foolishness. We remember the poor widow in the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 12, verse 42 and on. She might have had very poor, limited resources and perhaps limited knowledge in how to earn more income. Whatever the reason was for her very tight limits, she made it of an everlasting value. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself testified of that. We read here in the verse number 8 that godliness is profitable unto all things. In the real godliness, there is a promise. Godliness is promising something good to everyone that is exercising, practicing godliness. Godly men do not ruin their health with excessive eating and drinking. Godly men are not idle. Idle mind is a place where Satan has room and time to sow his seed. There are many benefits, even for our physical health, in godliness. But the whole benefit and blessing of true godliness is impossible for me to measure, to calculate, because that benefit is extended throughout endless eternity. The more we do the will of the Lord from the heart, the better we are prepared for that everlasting glory in which we want to praise and worship the Lord endlessly. In the verse number 9 is a beautiful phrase that we find, one of those that we find in the epistle of the Apostle Paul. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This faithful saying, this pure and simple doctrine of the gospel, the teaching of the word of God given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, is worth of all of our labor, and it's worthy to suffer reproach for it, because at times we are going to be persecuted, and at times by some people we are going to be treated in an evil way. But because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, there is no other, we receive from Him strength and endurance in every situation, and even these adversities that the enemy would like to heap up upon us and bring our way all the time, to discourage us and to persuade us to turn away from the direction the Spirit of the Lord is leading us on. Even these adversities will be used by the Lord to bring us closer to the Lord and experience more of His goodness and grace, His might and loving kindnesses. It is clear to us that in our own strength and power we cannot exercise godliness. We would not be able to endure on the path of righteousness and salvation. Not only we would not be able to endure in the difficult times of persecutions, but even in the peaceful times. But trusting in the living God and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord and Master, we can endure because He is giving us strength for everything that He will allow us to suffer here. In this verse number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Does this mean that there is ordinary salvation and then special salvation? I believe that after the fall, the sinful children of Adam did not deserve anything good. Someone has earned for them the Lord's gifts and blessings. The Lord God has told to Adam that thorns and thistles will grow for him in the fields that he is going to plow and cultivate. And yet the Lord has blessed the labor of men, both the righteous and the sinful. The Lord is teaching us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that we may be the children of our Heavenly Father. He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Sinful humanity did not deserve any blessing, any gift, anything good from the Lord, and yet He saved them to that extent from starvation, from calamities, from extinction. The Lord gave the time to all the people, and whosoever is going to use that time to repent and turn to the Lord, he will have that special, particular salvation that is going to be a blessing throughout endless eternity. Who will receive the gifts and the blessings of material nature from the Lord without the due gratitude and obedience to the Word of God, who will die in his or her sins in disobedience to the will of the Lord, is going to be condemned forever. And even all these gifts and blessings that he or she received in this life will be unto condemnation of every such person. May the Lord give us grace and understanding, obedience and faithfulness to his word and will, that we receive all his blessings and his full everlasting salvation. When we receive God's gifts with gratitude and in full appreciation, share them among ourselves and also reach out to the others, we are honoring the Lord, and he is worthy of all honor and glory.